This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Today, we are joined by a very special guest. Megan Barton Hansen is an English media personality and model, best known for her appearance on Love Island. Megan has since appeared on numerous TV shows and has also built an unapologetic and successful business helping women liberate themselves through body positivity and a freedom of sexuality. Megan has also recently launched a chart-topping podcast called You Come First. Welcome, Megan.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. This is a dream come true for me. You are my favorite contestant on Love Island ever, which is saying a lot. I think mainly because you came on the show and you were so like open about the fact that you liked sex and, you know, had stripped and you liked looking hot for yourself. And then I looked on Instagram and saw that you worked with Lelo, and I was like, holy shit, you gotta get her on the pod.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Too much crossover.
Yeah, weirdly, my favorite thing to do when I watch Love Island is like also look them look up the contestants on Instagram, like to see like where what they're up to now.
This is true. She always like spoils shit. I'm like, don't tell me. Yeah. Know who's like out in the open again.
So when I saw what you're up to, I was like, oh, we gotta get her on the pod.
Love that. Yes. So when did you watch it, my series? Recently.
I watched it actually recently. Yeah, I didn't watch them like in sequential order. I watched yours like during lockdown, and I was like sitting next to my roommate, and I was like, okay, she's the hottest girl I've ever seen, and she needs to be on the show. So
I think I watched it sooner than that. I think I watched it as soon as it came out. I'm a full blown like addict of that show.
Yeah,
I think the thing that baffles me the most about is actually how much sex there isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I like get that there's just like cameras in your face all the time and you're aware that you're like fully monitored 24/7, but I'm always like, there's so much delay before anybody starts fucking.
Right.
Like I just imagined it just would happen sooner. So
right.
It was cool to see you come on and be like sex positive and just sort of like open. Not that you like jumped on and immediately started fucking people, but
I mean, I tried to pace myself. I said to my parents, like the last thing they said to me before I left was just don't have sex on TV. And I was like, no, of course I won't. Like, I've got some self-control. Don't worry. Got there. Everyone's so hot.
Right.
And you're sharing a bed with these really fit people. Like, what do you expect?
I know. My thing is like, how are people masturbating? I always think about that on like reality shows. I'm like, you guys are there for so long. Like,
yeah, especially with like clear shower doors.
Yeah,
like
you
there's nowhere to sneak off to unless you're literally in the toilet just like every day.
Right.
There was one bathroom that had like no cameras in whatsoever. But there was rules, like weirdly, when we walked in, they gave us a few rules and it's like no taking drugs, no doing this and no masturbating. Or I think it was like no masturbating in a public area. So there was one bathroom and all the boys took it in turns to go in there and do their thing. Just see the
That's
boys
amazing.
Disappear for like 15 minutes during the day. Like, where's Jack gone? Where's Wes?
Oh my God, I love that. So I wanted to know kind of what your journey with sex positivity has been like.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So I grew up and I was like super shy, super quiet. And I had this big group of girlfriends who were quite popular. I think I was like one of the first ones to do bits or to like sleep with someone. Sure. So, or basically what it was, this guy asked me, I must have been like 16, no, younger than that, like 15. He asked me to send a video of me masturbating and I was so like petrified. I never had even masturbated at this point. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, you're okay. He's like, oh, but wow. Have you done it? I was like, yeah, of course I have. Then sure. My first day back at school after I said this, everyone's like, that's the girl who fingers herself. I was like, oh God.
So,
yeah, that was kind of my first experience of being slut shamed. And I think because of that, it's made me so open in later life. I feel like I've gone through that shit. People have already put me in a bracket of being the girl who masturbates or the slutty one. So I'm like, I may as well own it. And who doesn't love sex? I think it's about time women started owning it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're definitely advocating for that. It's slowly but surely chipping away at the old conventions, I guess we'll call them.
Right.
That must have been actually kind of intense. Like, it has to be complicated not only to be, like, have that exposed at 15.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad that I was so stubborn. Right. And, like, I didn't actually send the video. I just admitted that I did it.
Right.
I mean, that was bad enough. Kids are evil.
They
so
are.
Yeah.
My
they
whole
really
school
are.
Life.
Yeah.
Do you watch porn now?
Yeah, I do, but I'm like super selective of like what I watch.
Yeah.
I watch more like verified amateurs on Pornhub. And for me, I feel like if it's not genuine or they're not actually fancying each other, I just can't watch it.
Agreed.
And I think that stems back to being working in the sex industry. I've done webcam and I found it so jarring. Like after the third month in, I was like, I'm doing the same thing. It's so boring. And I just could relate to the women in porn. I'm like, it's just a performance. Yeah. Are you enjoying any part of this?
Yeah.
So I'm really, really picky of what I watch. I have like two couples that I love. Sadly, one was a gay couple and they just stopped filming, completely disappeared off of Pornhub. I was devastated.
Oh,
I actually slid in their DMs and was like, girls, what happened?
Did you get an answer?
Like, where have you gone?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
It's some big complicated thing, but they're just not into it anymore. And some like law thing, I was just like, oh, sad times for me.
Mm, no. I know. That's a bummer.
But I've got another couple that I watch. I think they're from Amsterdam or somewhere. They're both stunning and they're like a genuine couple. And it's just so hot to watch people who are actually like connected, bang, as opposed to all this theatrical performance shit.
Yeah, I think that's the like, believability is the thing that we're like constantly striving for, whether we're looking at high production porn or just like something that people made in their own living room. And there's so much more like verified amateur is a good way to put it. Like amateur can sometimes be a sketchy tag, you know, you're like, this is
where did
stolen.
That come from?
Or like, this is not okay, you know, but anything that's legit, that's amateur can actually be really beautiful and great because it's actually real sex.
Right. Like OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. Which you're on right now. How has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been so good. So I was actually on OnlyFans before Love Island and the producer of the show was like, this is a family show, probably best if you get rid of that. So I was fuming because obviously being on a TV show, I'm like, oh, I would have made so much money if I stayed on. But yeah, recently got it back. Lockdown was coming. As I said, like I worked in the sex industry. So my first thing was like, oh, if I was doing webcam, I would have made untold money during this pandemic. Like no one can leave the house. Perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
And I get so bored. So I was like, why not start it? I am lucky enough to know like amazing hair people, makeup artists, photographers. So I was like, best of both worlds. I get to keep myself occupied and make money.
And like get dressed up and feel hot. Like, that's so exciting. What a way to spend your lockdown.
Yeah, my OnlyFans is very self-indulgent. I feel like I just go and do weird shoots and weird concepts that I'm into. I mean, most men that sign up are probably like, I just want to see the tits and the pussy. And I'm like, well, I want to be a human disco ball right now, covered in glitter, doing the most.
Totally.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. I think that's important. And it's cool to have like your own production and creativity in it. You know, I think it's more fun that way.
Right.
How much energy and time do you feel like you put into your OnlyFans? Like, is it a consistent effort? Do you kind of touch and go?
Yeah, it's a bit touch and go. Like sometimes if I'm bored, like I'm not actually dating anyone right now. So it's kind of I've got a lot more free time and it's like good to go on there and like reply to the DMs and stuff like that. Yeah. It's always a good ego boost.
Oh, totally.
But I don't know, I do shoot every so often, but I'm just slacking a bit, I guess, with the home shot content and yeah, replying to the messages, but I do try.
Yeah. So this is kind of the topic I guess we should talk about is British. Mm-hmm. And
which is, this is the first time we've done like a nationality, but it actually like feels right because there is such a specific corner of the porn world that is British, both on the production side and the consumption side.
Right. There's, I mean, the UK is watching porn, you know?
Yes. Despite the government's best efforts to curb that. Like, what is your experience of government regulation of porn in the UK? Like, does it bother you? Has, like, as a producer of content and as a watcher, is it like fuck all these regulations, or does it really only affect people underage, do you think?
Yeah, I've never really experienced it. Mm. I think especially with platforms I've used, it's very like you can do whatever you want. So before Love Island, I was on a platform called Adult Work where I done webcam. Mm-hmm. Could literally do whatever. Like I haven't really faced any kind of regulations or anything, luckily.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Just because we know about like the Digital Economy Act or whatever, which kind of set up a bunch of age checks in order for people to like go onto Pornhub or any porn sites.
Yeah, I should clarify when I said underage earlier, I wasn't advocating for minors to create content. I was more clarifying that there's this very, I mean, I'm still getting an understanding of it because, you know, we don't deal with it here, but that there's specific restrictions that make it harder for 18 and under, or anyone under 18, right. I should say, to find porn online or to be able to like access those sites. But I don't even know how effective those restrictions are. I mean, like we didn't have the internet growing up in the sense that kids do now, or like we could just go on Pornhub when we were that age. So it's almost like, yeah, deal with it. But
yeah, even just when I was there, I was in the UK over the summer. And when I was like trying to research for this podcast, like I got to watch a lot of porn every fucking week. And the person that I was seeing at the time, like his Wi-Fi wouldn't let me go on any porn site. So I would have to disconnect from Wi-Fi and use my goddamn cellular data to hop on Pornhub or, you know, any of the porn platforms that I was watching, OnlyFans, everything, anything that was even like sex. Like I couldn't even go to like Lelo's website because it's like a sex toy company. Like I had to like just jump around the Wi-Fi because there's like restrictions. And in order to like get around it, he would have to like send in like his credit card and his passport and all this stuff to prove that he was above the age of 18.
Wow.
It was wild.
Yeah, I guess in that sense, it is quite strict. I remember being like 17 and trying to watch porn and you'd be like, oh, you're 18 or over. And I'd just get this hot sweat. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to find out. And younger.
Totally.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, totally.
I'm halfway there now. May as well proceed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you always feel like you were like a horny kid?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're either horny or you're not. Like,
yeah.
I've always been super, what's the word? Like, I just love being naked. Like, my parents would tell me, obviously, I started stripping at 20, but before that, I was such an exhibitionist. Like, if I was at a family party and I was a kid, and my mum would be like, go put your pajamas on. I wouldn't just do it in a normal fashion. I'd be like, okay, then. And, like,
swing around your head.
Yeah, I'm just an exhibitionist. I can't help it.
Yeah. I love
great
that.
Great fit, though, you know? Yeah. Like, why not just embrace that if that's your inclination? I love it.
I mean, that's good that you didn't have like a sexually repressed upbringing, because I don't know why, but I feel like especially in like America, people view the Brits as having like such a stiff upper lip and like being so Victorian in their ideals of, you know, anything that's taboo, you can't talk about.
Which is funny because we have our own whole like puritanical background. Like,
exactly.
And the more like I feel like through this podcast, I just keep stumbling across like more British kink. Like we're constantly quoting like
Metro.
British publications,
yeah,
saying,
Metro,
like tabloids, these like articles about like how many people wanked on the train this week.
Yeah,
it's like who is researching this in their quote unquote journalism? You know,
right? It's true.
We are a horny bunch. We can't help it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have some interesting statistics, actually, about how the UK is when watching porn. So this is actually a survey that was commissioned for the BBC Three. And it asked more than 1,000 people online in Great Britain aged 18 to 25 about their relationship to porn. And 55% of men said that porn had been their main source of sex education, which is pretty shocking to me. I know.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so sex ed is bad everywhere.
Literally, though, that's how I learn. Like, I think that's why I'm so passionate about when I speak now about, like, sex and all things like that and working in the sex industry. That's the only place I ever learned was, like, porn. Right. It's like, how do you give a blowjob? I'm Googling it. Like, it looks like porn. Right.
Yeah. And now you're crying. Cum is coming out of your nose, you know, because, like, that's what we've all learned. That's what porn taught us, you know?
Our version of that was, like, Cosmo magazines that always had, like, terrible pointers. Yeah. But the version now is, like, tug on his pubes, like, ice cubes always involved for some reason. Yeah. You know, now it's Pornhub, which is an even more intimidating way to be, like, you're going to start with the most extreme version and then have someone be, like, you don't have to fully, like, gag on my dick every time. Like, you can, but it's not silly. A requisite. You don't have to put my jizz in your nostrils necessarily.
I also have some fun stats about British as a search term. So, no surprise, it is the third most searched for term in the UK. It's 601% more popular in the UK when compared to the rest of the world. And then in terms of traffic on Pornhub, London is the top city for traffic in the UK. Takes up basically a quarter of all the traffic, and then followed by Birmingham with 2% and Manchester with 2%.
I also found a hilarious stat that this is like not a significant stat, but I appreciated the way Pornhub broke this down.
Oh, sure.
That visitors from the UK spend an average of 9 minutes and 18 seconds on Pornhub. Just a few seconds behind the world average. The top 10 cities all last longer than the average, with Birmingham pulling off an impressive 19 additional seconds of endurance. All right.
What's Birmingham doing?
What's your secret? 19 seconds. That could really matter.
Yeah. Really stretching it out, making it worthwhile.
I'm also fascinated. We could, like, touch on this, and then we can probably get into our break before we talk about the videos.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have to talk about it because it really, it definitely is a bit of an American obsession. But, like, the hotness around accents.
Ah, yes. This is a good thing to talk about.
In your experience, Megan, is the reverse true? Like, do Brits ever find American accents hot, or does our shit just sound like flat, garbly nonsense?
No, I actually prefer it. Like, there's not many porn videos I watch which are, like, scripted, and there's, like, you know, the whole bit at the beginning, there's a storyline. Normally, I just skip through, but if I am going to listen, it has to be American. I feel like British people make me cringe. I'm like, oh, no, I can't. But yeah, I think with that accent, like an American accent, you can say anything and it sounds hot.
Right.
It works for me.
Amazing. Because that's absolutely like, it is, the reverse is true. Like somebody opens their mouth and has a British accent, it's immediately more intriguing. I literally read articles prepping for this episode about why, like maybe it's status, like
colonialism.
Do the Americans perceive like the British as having some kind of status or even just like being different, and therefore that's like intriguing because it's different than what we're used to? No idea. I will say that when I've been to London twice, and I feel like both times I was like proportionately hotter than I ever am in the US. Like, I think I'm attractive. I'd hit it.
Oh, yeah.
But like, men on the street would be like, I asked a guy for a cigarette and he's like, oh, I'm an American. Damn. Okay. I should move.
Yeah. I'm like, in the US, I'm like a solid 6.5, but in the UK, I'm a 9.
Yeah.
It's just something about the way I love an accent. I love a British accent. But I think it's specifically about the word cock. Like, Brits use the word cock all the goddamn time. And like just referencing their own cock, another person's cock, and in porn, in life, in general. But like, I just think cock is hotter than saying the word dick. Do you know what I mean?
We do say cock here, but not as much.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying cock 24/7 now. American guys are like, who are you fucking? Sorry.
This is also, this is like a video tease, but We'll talk about the Cock Destroyers more in a second.
Oh my God.
But one of the biggest things I can't help but notice about Rebecca Moore in particular's accent is when she says cock, yeah. like conk, like it sounds yeah. like she's saying like N in the back of her throat. Like,
I mean, yeah, I'm conk. Addicted to them.
It's just like something about it is so choice and so singular. Like,
I love the Cock Destroyers. I mean, I think that they are icons and, you know, preach sex positivity as well.
Strong agree.
Yeah. How do you feel about it, Megan? Do you know the Cock Destroyers?
No, I don't know. I feel like I've just...
Oh, my God. Okay,
you need
so it's
to educate
these two,
me.
It's these two porn stars that are MILFs now, Sophie Anderson and Rebecca Moore. And they kind of went viral on Twitter because they had this video of them all in leather being like, do you know what we are? We're fucking Cock Destroyers. And like, gay Twitter just like blew it up. Like, wait, gay Twitter was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
These
and
are queens.
Yeah, these like, we all aspire to be like them. And... now they have like their own reality show, which is like the first ever safe for work reality show about sex work. And they just have all of these like gay, trans, like gender nonconforming, like contestants come on to become the next Cock Destroyer. And it's for free. It's on slagwars.com. It's called Slag Wars. I've watched the first episode. I highly recommend it. It's absolutely hilarious.
They're like super, yeah, super over the top and campy and amazing.
Yeah.
I need to watch. As soon as this podcast is done, that's the third thing I'm doing.
Yeah. Pour yourself a glass of wine and you'll fucking scream your head off laughing. They're amazing.
Yeah. And important to note, Rebecca Moore is in the female fake taxi video that we're going to talk about. So should we take a quick break and we'll come back to do that?
Yeah.
Perfect.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back.
To fucking talk about the Cock Destroyers, this is now a Cock Destroyers stan podcast.
Where do we even begin? Okay, so they're insane. They have the most plastic surgery you have ever seen. Like, they just have massive balloon boobs and, like, full lips and have just really taken on this persona of being filthy, disgusting, like, dick sluts that just, like, love, like, come and, like, love to, like, get fucked. They're always like, I'm obsessed with anal. Like, they're just so unabashedly open about being horny and wanting to get fucked.
They feel like the evil aunts from James and the Giant Peach, but, like, with this incredible, like, just over-the-top sex positivity and, like, yes, self-awareness. And a bunch of the porn they actually make is really subversive, where, like, yeah, they take on the role of the dominant. And then they, yeah, do also a bunch of, like, parody and, like, camp stuff on their OnlyFans. It's, yeah, it's sick. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah,
they've started this, like, clothing line with, like, it's called, like, Daddy Couture, and they have, like, you know, just, like, ridiculous, like, leather outfits and latex outfits, and yeah, they've just become, like, kind of icons in the gay community. That's, like, the first time I heard about it was a friend of mine was like, have you seen this video? And I was like, no. And then I immediately became obsessed with them as well, and now I want to be a cock destroyer. It's all
I love it. I feel like an OnlyFans collab is on the cards with the cock destroyers.
Do it.
Oh my God. I would fucking die.
Yeah. If you make that happen, we'll bow down and, of course, like, promote the shit out of that on our own social channels, because that we live for that content.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this video, Female Fake Taxi.
Mm-hmm. Welsh lad gets a sweet surprise.
And boy does he.
Yes. This is from with Rebecca Moore and Max Deeds. I'm actually, this is the first time I think we've ever talked about Fake Taxi on the show. Big in the UK, Fake Taxi.
Yeah.
But I feel like it only works in the UK.
Is that where it originated?
I think so. I feel like it has to work in the UK because the taxi cabs are so big, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
We don't have all that space here.
I think I've like tried to have sex in a cab like maybe once or twice, and it was just like maybe an inch of penis got inside of me, and that was it, you know? Like, I don't have all the room in there to kind of flop around and just really get the correct angle that is needed. So it has to be in the UK.
I was impressed with the angles that happened in this video. Like, I've never watched a Fake Taxi video before. Like, I think I've seen clips and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was the first video I watched, and I loved the angles. Like, she was so imaginative. When she was getting licked out, she was, like, leaning back. I was like, oh, hon.
She was, like, suspended in air. She was, like, holding on to the two handles and had her legs, like, pressed up against, like, the back of the seat. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Quick synopsis. I mean, literally, it's just this. It's just Rebecca Moore is the taxi driver, which I loved to see because usually it's a guy. So it was nice to have a female driving the taxi cab. And she picks up a Welsh lad and makes him take his dick out. And she's like, hey, if you want to go to Croydon, I'll just fuck you and then it'll be free. And then they pull over and they fuck. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Love the subversive. Love, like, her driving. Therefore, we just feel a little less concerned about, like, who's being dominated and how consent works. Like, it automatically just makes
it feel safer.
Like, it feels safer, and it's obvious parody. Like, it's obviously a send-up of these, like, usually quite often concerning, like, Fake Taxi videos where you're like, okay, obviously, like, this is a setup, but... how do we know there's consent involved? It just feels fun because it's like a muscle man in particular, you know?
Yeah.
And she just uses some really choice dialogue. Like, I bet you've got a a big cock to, like, convince him to see it.
Right.
Gets him to jack off for a while before they actually fuck. Some of my favorite details are when the, like, somebody comes and, like, yells at them. They're, like, fucking in a parking lot. And, like, somebody's walking by, is like, hey, like, we sort of, like, vaguely hear them in the background, and she puts on a trench coat, and then, like,
when she does, like, a Mission Impossible, like, leap over into, like, the front seat, I couldn't believe it, fully nude. He was like, I've never seen anyone get from, like, the back to the front of a cab so quickly. It was insane.
And then she puts on the trench coat and disappears and comes back and she's like, I chased them off. Like, she tells the whole story of, like, chasing off these strangers and then obviously, like, quickly gets back to fucking.
Right.
Very important.
I loved how proud she was.
Yeah, she was really proud. Yeah. She's like, I got him. But yeah, I love that there was a rim job in this. I was like, I always love to see like any like ass play. So it's nice to see like a big muscly guy be like, yeah, okay, lick my asshole. That's not gay. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I also loved, and there was a little bit of anal in there too, which is always a wonderful surprise. Mm-hmm. Never not on the menu. Always wanted on the menu.
Yep.
What else?
I wanted to go back to the cunnilingus because so just to give anyone listening the visual, mm-hmm. he's sitting in the seat and she's got her legs in like a V around his face.
yeah.
So like her legs are like propped up sort of on his shoulders, but like jutting out through like the back of the cab. And initially she's like fully like facing up, like planking. She's like suspended and he's like holding her back. And then she like lowers down either because it's exhausting or to get like a better angle on her actual like clit while he's going down on her, which I love because when she was propped up before, he was like jerking off, but then she just kind of sits on him and is like, nope, you're just going to eat me out.
Pay attention to the puss.
Yeah, exactly.
And then does a full backward somersault to get out of it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Just like falls around.
Shit.
Showing off.
Love that. Continuing with the Mission Impossible thing.
Yes.
Seriously.
Like, surprise, bitch, I'm here.
Yeah. Yes. I couldn't believe it. I was like, damn, she's athletic.
Yeah.
The guy, Max, also did something really interesting, like when he was jerking off, like he kind of like tucked his, do you guys notice this? Like he like tucked his pinky like on the other side of his dick. Of his cock.
Oh, like this? Like with his, between the fingers? I didn't clock
like,
that.
It was like the first three fingers were on like the underside and then like the thumb and the pinky were on. I'm always taking notes when I watch porn. I was like, what's the new trick? You know? What's the new move?
Like, what's everyone's like particular like preference? Yeah, like what's your little quirk like that you've been doing obviously since you like started jerking off when you were
exactly.
a kid? Like
and
you know
like,
he's done that forever.
Yeah. And he's like, the only way I can come now is like doing this. Like I have a friend who's like, I can't jerk off with my right hand. Even though I'm right-handed, like I have to jerk off with my left hand. And the second that I put it in my right hand, like my dick goes limp. Like
the dick knows it's the wrong hand.
Yeah.
It's like the thumb sucking equivalent of your masturbation style. Yeah. Like you have the way you do it. You can't rock the boat too much. Like you know what
so
you
true.
Like. Yeah.
Right.
That's so funny. It also like took him a while to get hard, which was really interesting. And I actually appreciate they didn't like cut that out, that he was like kind of just flopping it around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Also, right. which just reminds me that like When he pulls out his dick to show her the first time, he chooses to do a helicopter. Like, he doesn't just, like, show her the dick. He's like, wow.
He spins it around.
And, like, spins it around. That's what she was like, oh, we're fucking. Like, you're giving me a show?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's
on. Oh, you've got tricks? Well, she also says, flash your knob at me, which, like, never in my life if I've ever said to anyone, but, like, now I might.
I'm gonna. Yeah. It's happening now. It's happening today.
How do you feel about the word knob? Like, I don't think I like that.
I don't like
it. Do you like it?
I don't.
I think I can't take it seriously. Like, I loved it in this context because it's such a campy context. Yeah. And she's like, flash that knob at me. And I'm like, knob. Yeah. Like, I just think of like doorknobs
How
and it's
hilarious.
Not sexual.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, it's I love it. Like, I think if someone did say it to me in earnest, like, I don't know, even if they were British or American, it would be like funny and I'd be into it, but I wouldn't be like, oh, hot, your knob. Like, it's just
let me
not
see
in
that
my vocabulary.
Knob, you know, like I would never once be dead serious being like, let me suck that knob. Like, ew. Immediately I'm like, the doorknob. No.
Yeah, it brings to mind an object that has a very different shape and one that even I don't think is desirable. So, So,
a very chode shape springs to mind.
Yes, exactly. Yes, very thick head and then a drop off, a severe drop off.
Yeah. Certainly isn't fitting in my mouth or anywhere else for that reason.
Yeah.
You know. Ay, ay, ay. I do have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed this video. It really, like, entertained me.
Yeah.
It didn't turn me on, but it absolutely entertained me because I think Rebecca Moore is incredible.
Yeah. I was kind of fighting for it to turn me on. Like, I was rooting for it so hard that I was like, there's enough sex here that, like, I'm down. Like, I can work it out. Like, it's such fun production that I was like, yeah, why can't porn just be, like, stupidly campy, and then like, you know, you get your jerk off, jill off sesh in the middle of it, and then come back for right. the bit at the end, which was also this is a perfect video. We're like at the end, the car won't start, and I truly was I actually did think like Max was a good enough actor that I was like, it could be that the car didn't fucking start. Like, I believe his demeanor right now, just like sitting there naked in the back of a cab while like,
just like couldn't believe
the ignition doesn't ignite.
And like her face just dripping with cum. I was like, this is hilarious. Yes. Like, you can't write this. It was so good.
You can. I mean, if you're Rebecca Moore, she it's did. True. She did it.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, sometimes porn can just be entertainment, you know, like it can make you laugh, you know, it could still, it doesn't necessarily have to turn you on. You can still regard it as such, as entertainment.
Or always have to be like deeply self-serious.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
And maybe this turns you on too. Maybe you like that healthy dose of camp and comedy with your porn.
Yeah. I mean, she did get fucked really hard, which I always love to see. And she squirted too, which was exciting. Mm-hmm. Love a surprise.
She's a pro.
I love a surprise anal and like love a surprise squirt, you know? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It was good. There was a lot of variety, I feel.
Yeah.
Surprises at every turn.
Yes. I mean, the drama halfway through.
There's a clean arc. Nothing wasted. No. We didn't spend like any more time than we needed to on anything. Like, often you'll be like, okay, let's fast forward. But I actually was like, this is moving trippingly along. We've got a clear story arc. You know,
there's no fat in here. They've just cut it cleanly.
Yeah. I thought so.
Should we talk about the other vid?
Yeah, cool. Let's talk about The Pleasure Professionals, I think is the series, right? Like, that's what this, like, sort of series of vids called. This one's called Surprise Anniversary with Seth Strong and Tiffany Dahl. And this is from Joybear, a platform we haven't talked about much, but we should, and we are now.
Yeah, so this is a platform that I've always wanted to, I've been, like, holding off on talking about because I wanted to wait to use it for British, because it is, like, a British ethical platform. Anytime, like, a platform has, like, a mission statement, I'm like, I feel good about it, you know? So
it's a good sign. Yeah, it's a good indicator.
Like, their little page says every Joybear performer will be treated professionally, protected and safe, and promptly paid. And then your promise is support us and our performers by always paying for ethically produced erotic content. Together, let's make porn better. Which is lovely. Lovely to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, but have you heard about Joybear before, Megan?
No, I've never heard of it before, but I liked it. It was good.
I know. I liked it too.
I was kind of, even though you gave me your login, I was like kind of intrigued to see some others. I was like, oh my God, will they see if I've watched others?
Go ahead, girl.
Go for it. It's a month-long subscription at minimum, so please feel free to like pop in and out. We're not being like, hey, wait a minute. Like, I don't think we even have a way of knowing.
No, we don't. So you're good.
Amazing. I will have a good night tonight.
Yeah. We've got you stacked between this and Slack Wars. So their tagline also is very British, very naughty, which I loved.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
On brand.
On brand. Clear. So yeah. So a little synopsis of this video. Seth is a executive relief consultant, which I'm assuming is just like, similar to
innuendo for escort. Makes you jizz.
Yeah. An escort, specializing in kink and BDSM. And I have to say, like, the reason I was really into this video that I picked out was because there's something about like a suit that just screams British. I don't know why, but I was like, he's wearing a suit, so like, yeah, well, this is perfect. And he comes home from a long day at work, and he forgot about his anniversary, but his missus didn't. And he goes upstairs, gets a nice little surprise. She's there, naked, ties him up, blindfolds him, and they get to fucking. I loved this video. I loved that there was the pram in the shot. You like that word, pram?
What's that mean? That's stroller, right?
That means stroller in the UK.
Generally wasn't 100% sure. Needed to check.
I've done my research. And so, like, you know, and he steps on, like, a squeaky toy up the stairs. But then, you know, so, like, there are obviously regular people, but they have kinky sex lives, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really nice to see.
I would say that's the sort of moral message mm-hmm. of this video, because we also at the end get the baby monitor kicking in.
Right.
It's cute. Like, you know, we can have both lives.
Right.
That's what they're telling us. Yeah. And yeah, I just thought it was hot. I thought they were a really fun, hot couple. And I love a porn that sets up a conceit and has like high production value, but doesn't overdo it with like too much dialogue or too much like, we have a scene about it. Like, I was a little confused before I figured out exactly how the series worked. Just that, like, the montage at the beginning was a little disorienting because it was basically like a branded montage for the series. But I was like, wait, he's an executive relief consultant, but it's his wife. Like, what? Like, I couldn't quite put it together. But once I got past that and we were just like in the scene, it was great, because I didn't feel like there was an excess of a lot of talking about it. And the scenario of being like, oh, you're just being welcomed by your partner and you're blindfolded and like, this is a fun little soft BDSM. I wouldn't even say it's really BDSM in this particular scene. But I thought it was really fun and hot, and we got right into it.
And lots of kissing.
Mm-hmm.
I need a lot of kissing in my porn. And in real life. You know, if I could have my cake and eat it too. I want kissing to watch and I want kissing in real life. And it's like playful kissing, you know, and she plays with herself, even though he's blindfolded, which I loved because it was like, oh, she's not doing this for him, you know, like she's touching herself because she's turned on.
Yeah, I was going to say she's enjoying herself, too.
Yeah. And then she dips it in his mouth, which I always think is hot to watch.
Mm-hmm.
a nice long blow job. No gagging. You know, it just was like a regular get the job done blow job. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, is just fine. That's great. You know, I don't need to see a deep throat every single time I watch porn. I can just take a regular blowjob.
Just a regular blowjob is always nice.
My only issue was he forgot the anniversary and then she's like giving him this long ass blowjob for ages. I'm like, honey, it needs to be the other way around. He needs to go down on you for like a good 30 minutes if he's missed the anniversary.
That's a good point.
That's a really strong point. Yeah.
I agree with the talking. Like, sometimes it can be overkill and I get really cringed out. Like, if they try and over-explain or try and be, like, too filthy in the things they say, I'm just like, oh, no. But I feel like it was the right amount. And it's a good point you made about the blowjob. Like, it wasn't excessive. It wasn't, like, performative. I feel like she was actually doing it because she enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, one of the other ones you see when they're like excessive amounts of jewel, the eyes are watering, mm-hmm. and she's about to be sick. Like it was a nice blowjob.
Right.
A nice friendly blowjob.
She was like, if you had remembered the anniversary, it might have been different. But this is where you're gonna be.
Yeah, we could have turned it up a few notches.
Yeah. I would have pulled out the tricks. The tricks that we read in Cosmo. I love that she keeps her boots on for the entire scene.
Yeah, he like grabbed onto them at one point in a way that I thought was really fun.
Yeah, she's like riding him. I mean, she's like an impressive performer because the way she rode him, I was like, I'm done after 4 seconds, you know?
She also had like a particular cowgirl style. Like, she had angling that I was like, interesting, where she was like almost keeping just the like head of his dick.
I noticed
that. She was like working like the top of his dick in particular and kind of angling mm-hmm. in a way that I was like, ooh, I bet you're getting a good angle from that too.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm guessing, but I just was like, oh, it's an interesting style. It's a little less performative than you sometimes see and more mm-hmm. like, oh, this is an interesting choice. I don't know. I'm not in, you know, I don't have that dick inside me in that moment. So who knows what they're feeling, but it seemed mm-hmm. creative and cool to me.
Yeah, I was, but it did make me crave. Like, I was like, oh, I just want him to go to like the hilt, you know? Like, I want him to be fully in there. Like, and they did get to that once, like, you know, they got into like doggy and stuff and missionary on the couch. But I was like, when she was riding him, it did seem like she was just getting like, ooh, just the top 25% of his dick.
Maybe that's going back to the anniversary tease, though. She's like, if you'd remembered, though, you'd be in all the way.
Right? Oh, I mean, in that case, I'm obsessed with her. She's smart.
I also did love that there were, like, repeat interludes of him eating her out. Like, they like stop and switch, and then he'd go down on her, and then they'd fuck, and then he'd go down on her. And I was like, this is a nice reminder that like it doesn't have to be like blowjob, and then we never return to that sex act again.
Yeah.
Eating her out, and then we never return to that sex act. Like, it felt sort of a little bit more fluid, you know, and like could hop back and forth, which is I like to see.
Yeah. I don't want to see like, because I don't feel like sex and in real life is like, okay, step one is the blowjob, and then it's penetrative sex, and then we're done. You know? Yeah. Like a good sesh is gonna have, you know, we're having penetrative sex, and then we go down on each other, and then we go back to that, and then maybe we never even go back to penetrative sex. It's just all over the place. Yeah. You know? It's a journey.
Yeah, I think that's what made it feel more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. As someone who watches Verified Amateur Megan, did this feel like more believable even in the like higher production value, or like where did it land for you in that sense?
Yeah, it did. At first I was a bit like, wait, he's the one who's done something wrong, why is she giving him this long ass blowjob? But once we got past that and he was going down her, and like you said, they mixed it up, because I think a lot of like overly produced porn, it's like you said, it's like you'll start with a blowjob, he'll go down on her for like 2 seconds, they'll bang, he'll come on her face, it's done. Yeah. But I like the way it was like back and forth and like more authentic and real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Same. I would have liked to see more like clit stimulation, personally.
Could have done with a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, like someone touch her clit a little bit. It could be her, it could be him, it could be anyone, you know?
Yeah, it kind of like went away once she started writing it.
Do you feel like that's shown a lot in porn? Because I feel like it never was really shown. Like growing up, when I said like I would learn from porn because I didn't know where else to get this information from, I never really saw it. Do you think it's something now that's like more common, or is it I'm just looking at the wrong porn?
I think more than it was, kind of both, in that like we're progressively seeing more and more of it, even in the mainstream space, but the mainstream space is still behind, right? Yes. So like we don't usually see it when we think of like standard porn, but there are platforms that now are much more clit forward and much more inclusive in all different kinds of ways.
Right.
And as a result, you see more clit stuff. But yeah, it's still like generally, it should be much more of a standard than it is. And we're, I think, slowly chipping away at that and getting there.
Especially in queer porn.
I think like, that's so good.
Yeah, like in gay, lesbian, queer porn, you're going to find kinkier stuff. Not kinkier, I mean, that's just like, just how to come. That's just like sex 101.
Pretty basic standard, yeah.
Where like, you know, someone's, you know, majority of women or vulva havers like need clit stimulation in order to come. So there are other platforms that are a little bit more respectful of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's so healthy because, like I said, when I grew up, there was like none of that. That literally someone's dick would slide inside of someone and they'll be like moaning as if it's the best thing. And then obviously like the first time you have sex, you're like, what's happening? Like this isn't
what's
as
wrong
great
with
as the
me?
Girls making out on porn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was so confused the first time I had sex. I was like, what's happening? Nothing's really going on right now.
Yeah.
But that's why when you said you followed a verified amateur couple that was like gay women, like, because I bet they had a lot of glit stimulation involved.
Right.
Yeah. That's probably why I found it so attractive. So I'm like, I can relate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we get it. There's a reason that lesbian is like the number one search term for women, too. You know, like we want to see what looks good for us.
Yeah. So would we say that either of these are going into our spank banks? I mean, you did allude to like a wild evening, Megan, with Joy Bear. Like, did we effectively provide you some fodder for the future?
Yeah, I feel like I definitely need to explore that website a little bit more, Joy Bear.
Yeah.
The taxi one didn't really turn me on, but good entertainment. I feel like if there's nothing to watch on Netflix, I'm going back for the next episode of that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I think I have basically the same answer. Like, Joy Bear was like hot, and I was watching it, taking notes as we do, and was like, oh, maybe I'll actually just save this for bedtime and like make some fun of this,
right?
For sure.
I love any porn that ends in a cuddle, and Joy Bear did. So that one's going to my spank bank for sure.
Yeah. Until that damn baby.
Yeah. In the porn, not in my life. Let's be clear.
Thank you so much for joining us, Megan. Is there anything you want to plug before you hop off?
Yeah, just my podcast is out right now. So
yeah, You Come First, right? And it's where can our listeners find it? Is it on every single platform?
All the platforms. It's first on Entel, which is a really good app because then it will like link in like my Instagram and like pictures of the guest I've got on and stuff. But then, yeah, it's on Spotify, on Apple. It's everywhere. And it's really honest. And I think a lot of people with my platform, they get so intimidated to speak about things that need to be spoken about that are taboo, sadly still, because they're scared of upsetting brands or whatever. So I think it's a great podcast. It's just open, honest, and really raw. And things that you want to know, like I'm learning with every episode I do with a different guest, I'm learning. I've got like sex experts on and stuff like that. So yeah, make sure you check it out. Amazing. I think you guys will love it.
Yeah, it sounds like we will.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And for our listeners, that's You Come First with Megan Barton Hansen.
And come spelled the normal way, not with any C-U-M innuendo. It's come C-O-M-E.
No, I tried to do that, but management were having none of it. They was like, no, I think people are going to get it anyway.
I think they do. I got it. So. I thought I was I like, oh, cute. Didn't even need to, you know, do the spelling thing. We were with you.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much again, Megan. And thanks to our listeners. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O. Similar censorship. You can also find us on Twitter at GOP the Podcast and at our website, girlsonporn.com, as well as at our new Patreon, Girls on Porn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And maybe subscribe to our Patreon. I don't know. Crazy idea.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's any good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.